Hello and welcome to our broadcast that we call Plain and Simple, a daily internet broadcast dealing with end time issues. We're living in an age of apostasy and we need to face the facts and we need to face the future. There's a need to learn. However, learning is simply an accumulation of information. There is a greater need not only to learn, but to discern. To discern what is right and to discern what is wrong. The information that we're getting, is it right or is it wrong? Learning to discern. Stay with us for our broadcast. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 21, it says, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good." That word "prove" has been translated "discern" in two other places. What is discernment? The dictionary says it is the ability to judge things, and in a Christian context, it is obtaining spiritual direction and understanding so that we can judge things. Jesus said, "Why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" We need to judge. It says in 1 Peter 4:17, judgment must begin at the house of God. And that word judgment in that particular scripture is not talking about judgment coming upon the church of God for doing things that are wrong. The word means discernment. Discernment must begin at the house of God. There never has been a time when we needed more to understand and have the ability to judge things than we do today. So 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Prove or discern all things, hold fast to that which is good." Now, if we're going to learn things, learning is simply an accumulation of information. That's what learning is, an accumulation of information. Well, is the information we're accumulating right or is it wrong? There's all kinds of influences out there. Everybody is influencing us. There's tons of it. How do I know if what I am getting is correct? Well, the Bible says it is necessary for us to prove, to discern all things, and hold fast to that which is good. So learning is one thing. Discerning is something else. I need to discern. Am I getting correct information? And according to the Word of God, I can do that. We can all discern what is right and what is wrong. You remember Solomon, he was told he could ask for any one thing. And he said, "I want discernment, that I might discern between the good and between the bad." So what we want to talk about in a series of messages now is how do I determine what is correct and how do I know what is not correct? Can I discern all things? Well, yes. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." I first read that as a teenager. I thought, try the spirits? Well, I'll try this one, and I'll try that one, and see which ones work out. No, what it means is put them on trial, whether they are of God. And the only way we can put them on trial is to examine them in the light of the Scriptures. 1 John 4:6 says, "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." That word "know" has been translated "understand" 8 times. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How? By comparing the Scriptures with Scriptures and seeing if the information that we are getting is right or is it wrong. Discernment is not optional for Christians. Discernment is necessary to a life without compromise. It is necessary for parents to discern what is right and wrong for their children. It is necessary for pastors to discern what is right and what is wrong. And if we do not learn to discern, we are going to compromise without even knowing it. from day one in the ministry of Jesus Christ, he was concerned that his people would understand. In John chapter 13, verse 7, he said, "Thou shalt know." In 13 and 12, he washed their feet and said, "Know ye what I have done?" In 13 and 17, he said, "Know these things." In 13 and 35, he says, "By this shall all men know." In John chapter 14, verse 4, he said, "Ye know." In verse 7, he said, "Ye know." In 17, he said, "Ye know." In verse 20, he said, "Ye know." In 14 and 31, he said, "May know." In John chapter 15, verse 18, he said, "Ye know." 21, "Ye know." In his great prayer in John chapter 17, he said, "That they might know." In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, we read, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." John 16 and 13 says, "Howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth." 2 Timothy 3, 1 says, "This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come." 2 Timothy 3, 1 says, "This know," again, understand, "also that in the last days perilous times will come." Jesus spent 3 years teaching his disciples the importance of understanding what he was talking about, because of a lack of understanding will lead to discouragement. So he tells us to understand. Matthew 15 and 10, "Hear and understand." Matthew 15 and 17, "Do you not yet understand?" Matthew 16 and 9, "Do you not yet understand?" Matthew 16 and 11, "How is it that ye do not understand?" Matthew 24, 15, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." Mark 7 and 14, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." Mark 8 and 17, "Perceive ye not, neither understand?" Mark 8 and 21, "How is it that ye do not understand?" Mark 13, verse 14, "Let him that readeth understand." Luke 24 and 45, that they might understand. John 8, 43, "Why do ye not understand?" To begin to think that maybe it is important to God that we should understand. Paul in Romans 1 and 13 said, "Now I would not have you ignorant." In Romans 11, 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant." In 1 Corinthians 10, 1, "I would not that ye should be ignorant." 1 Corinthians 12, 1, "I would not have you ignorant." 2 Corinthians 1:8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant." 2 Corinthians 2:11, "We are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices." 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Do you maybe get the thought from the Word of God that we are supposed to understand? We have no excuse whatsoever for not understanding. We have the Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 5, here's a promise, "They that seek the Lord understand all things." That "they" includes you. They that seek the Lord understand all things. Jesus promised this in John 16 and verse 30, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." You means you. You can know the truth. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to give any more truth to anybody else than he is to you. God said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So we can know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Now, one major truth is this. God's program for today is the local church. We decided back at the turn of the 1900s that we had to have a movement. So we come up with our movement. There was communism and liberalism and modernism and a bunch of other isms. So we decided that we needed to have an ism. We will call it fundamentalism. And so we started our fundamentalism. And at the very beginning of our fundamentalism, they had a creed. And we'll talk about this more in upcoming programs. But their creed says anybody who does not agree with what we're doing here will be guilty of bigotry, denominational bigotry. Well, in their creed, they said absolutely nothing. In all of their writings about the fundamentals, they said absolutely nothing about the subject of baptism. Now, that's one third of the Great Commission. One third of it. They said nothing, not one word. And then they said, now, if anybody disagrees with our creed, they'll be guilty of denominational bigotry. So some Presbyterians and Anglicans and a whole bunch of other no-name people, some who baptized babies, got together with a few Baptists like R.A. Torrey and C.I. Schofield and some of those guys, and they got together and they said, okay, we're going to have unity. Let's not say anything about baptism because we can't have the disunity with those people that are sprinkling babies. So they said nothing about baptism. They're in the very early stages of what we call fundamentalism. We said, let's just learn to get along. Let's just have unity. And we'll show you another upcoming broadcast that at that same timeline, D.L. Moody, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Gypsy Smith, all of who saw the issue of separation and saw the issues that were involved in the amalgamation of Baptists and baby baptizers, they were not involved in the organization of our so-called fundamental movement. The first thing that we need to understand if we're going to get away from the confusion of these days of apostasy is that there are no grounds in the Bible whatsoever for a movement. None whatsoever. God's program is the local church. And so we've had our movement, we've had the seeds of destruction in day one in our so-called fundamental movement. How in the world do you dump one-third of the Great Commission and call it fundamentalism? I don't know how we do that. But we decided that we'll push our little pastors and our little local churches into the background, and we will trust our mighty men. Well, they did that, as they said in the Old Testament, and the Bible says that the beauty of Israel was slain because the mighty men had fallen. The mighty men had fallen in the midst of battle, and boy, are our mighty men in our movement falling today. Apostasy is flooding into our movement. Now, you do not have to let it flood into our local churches. That is a decision we need to make. If we're going to understand the hour in which we are living, we're going to have to understand that there's a difference between the movement and our local churches. The movement is mostly apostate, but we don't need to let that happen in our churches. We need to be on guard. We need to understand. What we need to do is discern between what is right and what is wrong. And so in our upcoming broadcast, we are going to spend much time on learning to discern. Let me say again, learning is an accumulation of information. You're getting information right now on this broadcast. But discerning is to be able to determine if the information is correct according to the Scriptures. And Jesus said that we are to judge all things. We are to discern what is right and what is wrong. And that's what we need to do today. It is critical. Number one, forget the movement, all right? I'm not saying don't be fundamental in the Bible definition of the term. I am a fundamentalist, but because I'm a fundamentalist, please do not associate me with what we call fundamentalism today, because fundamentalism today is apostate. Fundamentalism is further gone in this hour in which we live than the evangelical group was when I got out of it back in the late 60s. We are in a mess, and what we need to do is face the facts and face the future. Our churches are at stake. Our families are at stake. We need to learn to discern. It is very important that we understand that learning and discerning and action go together. In Exodus chapter 36 and verse number 1, it talks about people who had understanding to know how to work. It says that Bezalel and Aholiab were men that the Lord put wisdom and understanding in their heart to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. 1 Chronicles 12 and 32 said men had understanding of the times to know what to do. 1 Kings 7:14 said he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work. 1 Chronicles 22:12 says, only the Lord give thee understanding that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. 2 Chronicles 2:12 said they were endued with understanding that they might build an house for the Lord. Psalm 119 19:34, the psalmist prayed, "Give me understanding, and I will keep thy law. Yea, I will observe it with my whole heart." Psalm 119:73, he prayed, "Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." Psalm 119:104, he said, "I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Discernment is the ability to judge things. We need to have that ability so that we know God's direction for us in life. Tune in for our next broadcast. May the Lord bless you.